Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Tuesday. Very excited about this next interview because it's always fun when we have the one and only Double J, Jeff Jarrett, join us on the show. Jeff, what's going on? How you doing?
How we doing, guys? You just said Chase and Big Joe, and Big Joe is being lazy today. Is that correct?
You know how it is. When you can get some vacation, you take it. So he is he's having some much-deserved time off and got to go see his granddaughter. So he gets an excuse absence today, I guess.
Oh, get out of here, Chase. We both know if we had Big Joe's money, we'd burn ours. That man is down on the beach somewhere. I'm kidding. Good. Let him have some R&R. How you doing today, my man?
We're doing great.
We got some Cats football to talk about, don't we?
We do. We got a lot to get into. And we'll start with that. Cats football, the number one seed, and a couple weeks off before the semifinal game in the playoffs, which is going to be in Clarksville. And we're excited about that. We're also excited, as Mr. Pogue tells me, that Joe and I are going to call the game here on radio on 102.5 The Game. So hopefully the championship game as well. Got to take care of business in the semifinals. But Strike and Spare and Larry Schmitto supporting that. And we're excited to talk more Cats football and bring those games. But I know you have to be excited with your first year of involvement that number one seed looking really good.
Yeah, and you know what? I've had the pleasure. I'm worried about, you know, production and game presentation and marketing and all that kind of fun stuff. I don't have to worry about what goes on in the field, but I will say this, Coach Fisher, Coach Arbette, the entire crew, but I give all the credit to the players. They're the ones that have stepped out, and, man, it's just kind of unbelievable to me the season we've had, undefeated at home. But, Chase, I will say this. I've been around sports my entire life, and we all get into the rhythm of life and rhythm to play and rhythm of the week. I'm not the biggest fan of going into not 1 but 2 weeks off as we head into the playoffs. I love that we have the bye, but, you know, the reality is just not a real fan of that. So Clarksville in the Middle Tennessee area, we're going to need you loud and proud on that Sunday. Kind of feels like NFL Sunday early. Sunday afternoon football, so going to be a lot of fun.
So it's kind of funny how everything can tie together, because the other thing we wanted to talk to you about was the Dark Side of the Ring series on Vice that you were a part of, you and TNA Wrestling. How much did what you went through in the early days of founding that company and doing the production side and all those things, how much has that helped you with what you're now doing with the Cats?
Oh, funny, Chase, that you would. I mean, it's a massive amount, you know. And we got into it a little bit on Dark Side, and I think it's kind of unique that the AF1 games are broadcast on Vice and Dark Side. Obviously, it's the calling card of the entire network, the series, the Dark Side. But from the first time, and I think you know about this, one of the very first shows that I actually promoted was Clarksville High School. So going way, way back.
Yeah.
You know, promotion is in my grandmother's blood and my dad's blood, certainly in my blood. And you kind of have to learn the fundamentals. But like you said, at TNA, it took it to an entirely different level. You know, we did a weekly, a two-hour pay-per-view, or, you know, we renamed the Nashville Sports Arena, the Fairgrounds, the Asylum. But, you know, we did a global pay-per-view every Wednesday night for over 2 years. And that is something that it's an invaluable experience, cutting my teeth, because fully responsible of getting a live program on air. You know, you had to have the satellite and the backup satellite. Chase, I could talk forever, but it's very, very impactful on my entire life. Just kind of looking at that entire process from, you know, really 2002 to 2009, the real formative years. And that is something, you know, from a television deal to live events, to merch, to licensing, to global distribution of the product, and all things in between. It was very impactful on my life.
Jeff Jarrett is with us. I think the first two episodes are excellent. I respect how vulnerable that, you know, you've allowed yourself to be. You know, Karen, your wife, allowed herself to be. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, people probably thought they knew, but then learned, you know, other things about, not just about TNA, but about you as in your career. Obviously, you talking about Owen Hart made me very happy because he was one of my absolute favorites. But how surprised have you been about just how much people have enjoyed it and learning not only about TNA wrestling, but about Jeff Jarrett?
You know, that's difficult for me to answer because I really can't answer. I'm not the other folks. I mean, obviously, the network, man, oh man, they're overwhelmed with the positive feedback. So, you know, I'll call it as an executive producer cap that I may put on. I wasn't the executive producer by any stretch, but I know when a network's happy, how meaningful that is. But you know, Chase, this is such a, out of the box kind of set of circumstances for me in that, you know, I've been in professional wrestling my entire life, and it's no secret professional wrestling is scripted entertainment, it's sports entertainment, and, you know, which this dark side is anything but that. And so, you know, I've lived, I don't want to really say a double life, but I've had a private life and a public life like most folks. But, you know, I've been on television since I was 18 years old. And that, you know, there's upside and downside to that. And a lot of people, what they've seen on television, they believe, and rightly so, that's Jeff. That's really just a part of Jeff. And so when you peel the layers of the onion back like the dark side has, and when they reached out and wanted to do this, Doc, I gave it a lot of thought, and I, you know, I'd been involved in other episodes of the series, and, you know, there's, unfortunately, most of the episodes that are done, they're, you know, the folks are no longer with us, and I was been close with a couple of people that have been featured. So when they reached out to us, I had to think about it, but I'm very, you know, I'm well aware at the amount of work that they put into these episodes. I did almost 18 hours. Which it's hard to wrap your head around. I did 2 days of almost 9 hours each day of taping, and that's just me for 3 one-hour episodes. And so Karen did about 8 hours, and you know that's just two of the 15 or 20 people that they really talk to. So a lot of work goes into it. They do their very best to tell the story, and I think they've done a wonderful job. And so I have to give the producers and the show and everything that goes with it, I got to give them the credit because they're the one that really put it all together.
How therapeutic was it for you to cover some of the, you know, the tougher topics? I mean, you get into your relationship with your dad and, you know, how tough that was when, you know, Dixie came in and all of that, your relationship with Dixie, how you and Karen got together. Is it therapeutic to be able to talk about all that and then go back and watch it?
You know, it'd be hard for me to call it therapeutic, but I understand where you're coming from. On the one hand, yeah, absolutely. That the people, and I, you know, people may or may not know this. Dixie Carter, who is obviously in, you know, a big part of this entire story. I reached out to her and tried to get her to come on the air and tell, you know, her side, if you will. But you know, me and my father, when we reconciled. And people that are in my inner circle that live through this, and there's some folks that are on there. I mean, Cornette lived it. All these folks different lived it. But, you know, I've known the truth. I just haven't spoke publicly about it. The biggest deal, Chase, and you know this, you know, kids are involved. And when kids are involved, yeah. You know, they didn't sign up to have a public life. And I've always been very respectful of that. I've been on the other side of that as the son of a wrestler and know the good and the bad of that. But yes, it has definitely, I do believe that, man, from the texts and emails and direct messages and all that kind of stuff through social media, there are some folks that are kind of blown away. They're like, I had no idea. I thought I knew the story, but boy, oh boy, was I wrong. And so that is, you know, as a lifetimer in this business, I just have to nod my head and say that's in a way kind of par for the course.
So I've watched this, the first two episodes, with my girlfriend. She doesn't know anything about wrestling. Didn't care about wrestling at all, as you know, sometimes girlfriends are. And she said when we finished episode two, and I was like, you know, Jeff's going to come on the show, we're going to talk about this. She said, "Tell him I thoroughly enjoyed it." And not knowing any of the history, she felt, you know, entertained and learned a lot. And I thought that was really cool to hear somebody that doesn't know the business and doesn't know the history, and how they could be, you know, pulled into it and enjoy the show. So I wanted to pass that along.
Well, Chase, and I I'm not kidding when I say this. That part of what you just shared is very meaningful to me. And the reason I say that is, and we've joked about it, FRA guys, we all go way back, you know, and I'll say this because I'm a wrestling fan first and foremost. So I understand that set point. But there is wrestling fans that I always use this adage: for those that believe, no explanations needed. For those that don't believe, no explanation will do. And there are still people that have seen the truth and see it with their own eyes, and they can look at data and numbers, and 15 people can quote unquote corroborate the story. They're still going to believe what they want to believe, and I get that. But a non-wrestling fan to kind of hear that kind of feedback, that tells me at the very top of the list, the Dark Side of the Ring producers did their job. We told a story, and it obviously in a way was engaging. I can't say entertaining, but it was certainly engaging.
So after watching the first two episodes, this question popped in my head that I wanted to ask you, and that is, could things have been different if, when Dixie was put in her position, she had come to you and said, "Hey, Jeff, I don't know anything about the business, but I want to learn. I want to be a part of this. I don't want to just have a title and sit to the side. Can you teach me?" If she had had that approach, do you think things could have been different?
I've said this over and over and over, and I've looked back on my life at this stage of my career, Chase, and I am, I don't have regrets because we all live and learn. But the one thing that I'm very, it's glaring obvious, every relationship that has been frazzled, been broken down, goes with my father, goes with other folks I've worked with, for all that, specifically if you're asking about Dixie, lack of communication. So I accept my role, my part in the breakdown in communication, because it got, it's almost like the old adage, a small pebble in somebody's shoe, and you keep walking. It's no big deal. 1 year goes by, 2 years go by, 3 years go by, 4 years go by, you're in trouble. You've got an infection and it's getting bad and it's spun out of control, and things happen like that. So you position that question as if she didn't ask, to be taught or whatever it may be. That's not the case. I mean, we worked together from the beginning, and the directive, and we went into this, and there was so much. That's another thing. There is so many things left on the cutting room table. The entire story about Toby Keith was more or less just, you don't have time. The entire story about Hell South was barely mentioned on. There was another story that, it came, and, there's a story about my dad and having fallen out. The reality is, the biggest single thing that my dad got frustrated is that Panda, it appeared, thought that they may want to have someone invest. Me and my father went and found folks to come in and take over and invest, and they treated them worse than dirt and shooed them away. And it told us right then that Panda wanted to continue with the investment. It went south. That was not a good set of circumstances. That was not long after that is when my dad had enough. So there's so many things left out. But the fact is, me and Dixie worked together, and it is something that it went from bad to worse. But she won't be the first, and certainly won't be the last. She wanted to run a wrestling company, and I didn't think that she had the skill set, and that's really the dividing line. And history kind of proves itself. She did the power play and lost her TV deal in 3 years and lost her company in 5. That's, unfortunately, that's the reality. because this business looks very easy when it's successful, but it's just not.
Jeff Jarrett is with us. You know, I kind of made the joke when we were watching it to my girlfriend. I go, you know, I think this is more real life than you think, because I don't know if these guys like each other, if they're friends, if there are any friends in the business. So what are some of the relationships that like with some of the folks we see? Like Vince Russo, for instance, you go way back with him to the WWF, to WCW, to TNA, and he is about as polarizing as they come. So how would you describe that relationship?
It's fine. You know, not like we talk every day. We text occasionally. But, you know, Vince has gone out down his journey. In the show, it's very obvious that him and Eric Bischoff, I hate to say this word, despise each other. It's very obvious Jim Cornette and Russo despise one another. Chase, that's as real as it gets.
Yeah. Oh, I believe it. So tonight, you mentioned the power play, brother. We see Hulk Hogan, the Hulkster, is going to be involved. Connor Nude is co-hosting with me today, filling in for Big Joe, and I know he wanted to ask you a little bit about that.
Yeah, Jeff.
Bring it on, Connor. Bring it on.
I will do so. Yeah, Jeff, this is, to me, one of the most interesting eras in wrestling, is when you guys at TNA decided to bring in the old guard of Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff and all the guys that worked at WCW.
I don't think Jeff decided that, but
well,
others did.
The higher-ups. What do you think the goal was in bringing the old guard to TNA? Because to me and the average fan, there was more of an emphasis on those guys, the old guard, and it sort of pushed aside the young homegrown talent you had, like AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, guys like that. So what was the goal in bringing that old guard in?
I mean, to get the ultimate answer, you'd have to ask Dixie Carter. It goes into, again, so much left on the cutting room floor. But, she called me up when I was on my quote-unquote leave of absence and said, will you go to Tampa and basically help me hire Hulk? Sure, I went, and I got done with that plane ride and got off of it. Bob Carter, the head of Panda Energy International, called, and my direct answer was, if we can get him to be the ambassador of the brand, this is a grand slam and we should pay him well. That was my vision. Dixie's vision was different, which I had no idea. And I'm sure there's some salesmanship from Hogan and Bischoff, because not long after they went to work for her, she essentially gave them the keys to the kingdom and they were running the show. So I think in my opinion, when I look back on it, even while it was real time, I don't think Dixie understood what she got herself into. And instead of putting the shovel down, as they say, she kept digging deeper and deeper and deeper. And ultimately, it put the company in a financial death spiral. One bad decision after another, you know, took Impact on the road, left Orlando Studios, hired a bunch of aged talent. I mean, we could go on, but we went from a profitable company, very profitable in 2009, and by 2011, it was in the death spiral losing money.
From a locker room perspective, Jeff, obviously your talent, he was talent. What was the power struggle like with him, working with him on a daily basis?
You know what? It was all game face, and we, you know, come to work, and, you know, at the end of the day, Hulk, Eric, and that entire team, they were pleasing their boss. It all rested on Dixie's shoulders. And so, you know, it was, you know, I don't want to call it a divided camp, because people were very leery of what was going on. But at the end of the day, it was, hey, let's show up to TV and do the very best that we can. But, you know, there was so much, I'll call it locker room dissension and discussion, and we're heading the wrong direction. And it was very obvious, not far in, kind of the direction everything was headed, you know, and just kind of the guys you mentioned, you know, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Chris Daniels, all just that whole crew. They were just very disheartened from the entire kind of process.
Jeff Jarrett is with us. And Jeff, obviously, for those who don't know, you are now with All Elite Wrestling, which is coming to our city. We're really excited about that. Is it freeing working for a company like that, that has sort of the structure that I would compare to the early days of TNA?
You know what? Before my dad passed away, I had been with AEW maybe a year, maybe not quite that. But we had that conversation. And the reason I say that is, it has been the first time in my entire life For me personally, I wear the talent cap. And that is a lot of freedom, a lot of blessing. But no, there is an incredible entrepreneurial spirit, and it comes from the very top. Tony Khan, son of Shad Khan, but Tony grew up a wrestling fan. If we're going to talk about this, you know, Dixie, the very first live wrestling match she went to was TNA's first show. If you really let that soak in, that is the set point. Tony is a historian. He can tell you. I was on a plane ride with him, and I looked at him very sincerely. I said, Tony, you remember more about Memphis TVs than I do. That's the truth. But, you know, Tony knows not just Memphis TV, WCW, ECW. He is a in-depth student of the game, if you will, because I think we all go from wrestling fans and then you start studying it. Tony, you know, is an analytics guy. And so when you look at the Wembley success, the TBS TNT success, Globe Life Field Stadium and the weekly grind, if you will, when you look at all that, that we've done at AEW, you really have to go. No matter how you want to slice and dice it, you go right up to the top. And Tony has a vision, and that's that is the result, I believe, of a cumulative effect of understanding the product and understanding the business.
I have to sneak this one in, Jeff, as a fan. Just how professional is The Undertaker in the ring working with him?
Mark, I mean, when you think, you know, and I knew him as Master of Pain on Memphis, you know, well, even before that, when me and my dad went out to Dallas in 89 and 90, Big Red, if you will, was breaking in. He came here. He went from here to WCW, and then he obviously went on to be The Undertaker. Mark, I'm a basketball player, basketball junkie. Mark is a former basketball player. So his athleticism, a lot of times it goes so unnoticed because of the attributes of the character, and slow and methodical and everything that he does in his character work, which is so good. But he's a businessman. He knows what he's doing. He knows, I've always said, what makes the most successful professional wrestler? It's when you play an extension of your personality. There is a thread of Undertaker in Mark Calloway, and it really shines bright when you go back and study his body of work, because he is the Undertaker when it's time to be the Undertaker.
He is Jeff Jarrett, Dark Side of the Ring, Part 3, Jeff Jarrett and the Fight for TNA Wrestling, tonight on Vice TV. But, Jeff, we got some business with the Cats here in a couple weeks, as we'll see who the opponent is at F&M Bank Arena on August 2nd at 3 o'clock, and you can hear that on 102.5 The Game. I know we're so pumped for that in this season, and hopefully a championship can come to Nashville and Clarksville.
Bring it home. Like I said, worried about the off weeks, but we're going to need to be loud and proud. You can go to catsfootball.com, get your tickets. But Sunday afternoon, that August 2nd, boy, oh, boy, we're going to have a house full, and we better get the W. Because not if, but when we do, the Crown Championship, the Arena Crown Championship, will be held the following weekend. And I'm hoping like hell, as a promoter, that we get to host AF1's championship game right here in Middle Tennessee.
Would certainly be awesome. Jeff, appreciate the time as always. You know I could sit and talk wrestling with you for hours, so yep. love it, and thanks for coming on.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks, Jay. Thanks, Connor. And tell Big Joe to get off the beach and cut him off at 3 pina coladas.
We will. Don't worry. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, guys.
Double J, Jeff Jarrett, The Last Outlaw, joining us, the King of the Mountain. I mean, he's had a lot of monikers over the year. And again, if you haven't watched the Dark Side of the Ring parts 1 and 2, it's fantastic. A lot of stuff. You know, he talks about what was left on the cutting room floor. I probably have 15 more questions that I could have thrown out there.
I still have some.
With him as well. That is going to do it for us. Connor, great job. Nick, great job. Brando, great job. We're back at it tomorrow, but DVD coming your way next here on 102.5 The Game.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.